when Dan Campbell, lead singer of the Wonder Years, evangelizes for a band like a gospel preacher, you best pay attention. That's exactly how I found Future Teens. Future Teens themselves started as a goof-off band in an Alston basement, a western suburb of Boston known for its hipster art scene and shady landlords. Singer and songwriter Amy Hoffman joined the band towards the end of recording their debut album, but their most recent record, Breakup Season, was the first time they and band founder Daniel Radin truly co-wrote together. And the result is fantastic. Breakup Season tells a story of two different kinds of breakups, the disillusion of Daniel's old band and the crumbling of Amy's romantic relationship. Reminiscent of power pop bands like Diet Sick, Alex Leahy, and Great Grandpa, Future Teens' collaboration and sarcastic sense of humor set them apart from their peers. Future Teens head out on tour in April with Dollar Signs and Spanish Love Songs, an incredible lineup. You can get tickets for that at futureteensusa.com and on Twitter at futureteensusa. I was super stoked to talk to them about their songwriting process, about their music, and about, you know, breakups. Here's the chat. So I'm here with some of Future Teens, with Amy and Daniel. Amy and Daniel, do you want to say hi?
Hello.
Hey.
Nice.
Is that good?
That is fantastic. And y'all are outside Detroit on tour, outside. It sounds beautiful.
It is
all those things. Yeah, it's great.
Nice. Cool. Well, you just put out an album recently, called Breakup Season. And I just want to talk to you, like, just if you, however much detail or not detail or going far back or not far back, like what's the origin of, so the origin story of this album, how did it come to exist?
This record was born from a few different kinds of endings for me and Daniel, and spun out into like kind of its own cool narrative. I don't think we really noticed until it was all over that like the record ended up almost in the order that we wrote it, and told those stories in like a cool interweaving way.
And this is the second album from you all. Amy, was this your first album or were you on the first album as well?
I was on the first album. Hard Feelings was largely written before I joined the band. I think I brought a couple songs to Hard Feelings and then like, and played on it. But Daniel is the only person left from like the original band.
Gotcha. I heard it started, I feel like every band starts as a joke, but I heard the band sort of started like on a lark, and then it's kind of coalesced into the lineup that it has now.
Yeah, exactly. We really weren't planning on even playing any shows when we started the band, and therefore we didn't play many. And now all of a sudden we're halfway across the country after releasing two albums, so it's all a bit crazy to us, but yeah, we're excited.
That's awesome. I saw that I don't know if y'all are friends, or I saw Dan Campbell of the Wonder Years is really a big fan of yours and of this album.
Yes, he's championed us more than sometimes we champion ourselves, and yeah. it's we're lucky to have his support.
That's awesome. So on the album itself, Amy, you sing on, I think five of the songs, and Daniel, you sing on four. I was noticing in listening to the record that Daniel, your songs are a lot about of kind of being, in the past, being stuck, kind of being at home, Can you talk a little bit about your inspiration around those and kind of what situation you were in when you were writing this?
Yeah. So as Amy said before, we both went through different types of breakups when we were writing this record. Amy's more romantic and mine a lot less romantic in the sense that it was a band that broke up. And so I was in a band for about 6 years and touring a lot. And then we broke up and all of a sudden, you know, at that point, Future Teens, we toured maybe like, you know, a few times a year. If that, I think we'd just done our first tour or first two tours. And there was this moment after my old band had broken up and before things started taking off with Future Teens that I was like, maybe I won't be a musician. Like, there's just this sudden realization that, like, the way my life had been headed might not be where it ends up. So I was writing a lot out of those feelings, and I've never really, since 2012, I've been touring, and I never questioned whether I would stop. Things just kept moving. So that was where a lot of the songs I was writing were born from, and I remember, like, the last track on the album, for example, is me trying to reconcile, you know, every time I'd get dinner with my dad, he'd be like, all right, well, things seem to be good, but just, you know, find someone to, you know, start a life with now. I'd be like, yeah, okay, working on that. So it was me trying to reconcile, you know, that I hadn't found anyone, but I did have Future Teens and had this music thing, and that was really good. That's the something nice.
Yeah.
That the title suggests.
Yeah. I really sort of related to the whole album, but related to these batch of songs. You say at one point, I've been so busy screaming into the void, never noticed I was making a choice. And I don't know how old you are, but, I'm 33 and yeah, I feel like at various points, kind of around 28, you know, 30, you kind of look up and you're like, oh, this is like my life now. I didn't realize this was my career. I didn't realize this was my trajectory. And yeah, so I really related to that on here. It sounds like you were somewhat at a similar point.
Yeah, totally. Actually, my friend the other day, 2 days ago, just texted me about that lyric and he's like, is that a Nietzsche reference? And I was like, yeah, I guess it is, incidentally, yeah. In the sense that, like, I thought that was just a common phrase at this point, but yeah, well, I'm glad. That's cool.
Yeah. And then Amy, do you want to talk about your batch of songs and kind of what they mean to you?
Yeah. I was dealing with a romantic breakup, and the kind where no one did anything wrong. It was just this, like, I like had my heart broken by circumstance, and was like searching for a way to reconcile, like, the way I felt about someone and like this thing I saw ahead of me, and just how at odds, like, the things we wanted out of life were. And I think we exist in a genre that's known for, like, writing really salty breakup songs. but, like, when you have no one to be salty at,
yeah,
where do you, like, how do you channel that energy? What do you do? It's, like, the most adult kind of ending. One with, like, a lot of love and mutual respect and, like, genuine desire for someone to have the entire universe, but, like, it was hard to write that. So this whole writing process was, like, the most I can't think of the word right now. Daniel, what's the word for we did it together?
Well, I mean, besides collaborative.
That was the word I was trying to find. It's the most collaborative it's ever been. So it was, there were moments where it's like, well, the thing I was going through is something Daniel has gone through, and you know, obviously a very different, but in enough ways similar that he was able to pull some of the things I was feeling out of me. And that's like both a product of shared experience and just like a very close friendship I'm really thankful for. So we worked together on a lot of this, and that helped me like find some perspective and be able to say, hey, I love you. I'm sorry. This is just like a cosmic disaster that right. is going to hurt for a while.
Yeah.
But in like a prettier way.
Yeah. Yeah, I got that. I got that sense as well. I think the album works so well because, you know, the themes are sort of similar, even the situations are different. And again, yeah, I notice your songs like very immediate, like you're seeing someone in Harvard Square, you're seeing them with someone else, like these very immediate, whereas Daniel's kind of thinking on something that is like more fully closed. And I thought those perspectives were really interesting and sort of complemented each other.
Cool. Yeah, it's funny. I'm the type of song I write. I remember our friend Karen was interviewing us like years back. She's like, she was looking at me. She's like, you don't really write songs about being in relationships, but they're not really about breakups either. And I was like, oh yeah, that's called being single. And she was like, oh. She was like, oh my God.
Right. You've unlocked the key. So when you were writing together, were you bringing each other songs? Did you like, how did that process? And Amy, I knew that you sort of joined a little bit later on the last record. So this is kind of the first record fully together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did that process work? Did you just bring each other songs? Did you kind of work through it together?
For the most part, we'd bring an idea, like a theme or like a shell of a song or whatever thing we had, and then flesh it out together, like fine-tooth comb all the lyrics. And we did the arrangements along with the rest of the band, with Colby and Maya.
Is this the way you think you're going to write in the future? Or do you just, are you like focused on this record, this tour, this right now?
Yeah, I mean, it was for all of us, honestly, this is the most fulfilling collaborative creative project any of us have been a part of. And this is just, to us, it's like, this is just the beginning. It feels like, Colby had just joined the band when we started recording, and he's just like an insane drummer and comes up with great ideas. And same goes for Maya on bass. And like Maya, she's always like keeping us honest, I feel like, with like, we're like, yeah, we'll figure that out. And she's like, no, let's like, what's the rhythm? I need to know right now. Yeah, we're excited for what comes next. And yeah.
So Daniel, were you living at home when you were writing this record? There's a lot of sort of references to being home or being close to home.
Yeah, so I grew up right outside Boston. Mm-hmm. And I don't live with my parents. Mm-hmm. They would not want me to. They were basically like, they would never want me to come back home, and yeah. I never did. Not like in a mean way, but like in a way like they want me to be independent. I live, the town I live in now is literally one town over from the town I grew up in. So I definitely at some points feel like, you know, if I run into someone from my high school or something like that, they're like, oh, cool, you're still here, that's great. You know, it feels a little bit like that. I'm like, no, I swear I'm doing things. I'm always trying to, I think I finally accepted now that we're touring. So I've been touring so much, but we've been touring so much that like, it is nice to come home from tour and see all the people I've known for years and see my family. And I've just accepted that that's okay.
Yeah.
Which I kind of talk about in Born to Stay
yeah.
on the album a bit. It still feels a little sometimes like there's reminders of, things I didn't do, but right. I think I've accepted that those weren't things I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I live in Austin, and I grew up in Austin. I sort of did some time in New York in between, but coming back was like sort of weird, of feeling like, what did I, like, is this giving up in a way? Is this, but yeah, I've come to really like it and recognize how it's like, oh, it's nice to have the family here. It's nice to, you know, have like roots. I think I was used to be scared of that.
Totally. Well, it feels like when you're young, or if you end up going to college and you graduate, you're like, I got to go somewhere else. Like, it always feels like you got to go somewhere else. And it's like, wait, why am I doing this again?
Amy, did you grow up around Boston also, or different?
No, place? I grew up in Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a
home of the.
Well, let's see.
Hawthorne home Heights, right? Is that the?
Who's? Oh no, it's not. It's not them. Different emo band.
They had the Ohio song, didn't they?
Oh yeah, what the heck is the band
Ohio.
Called?
I do not know any bands from Joplin off the top of my head.
There are a few. I don't know how active any of them are anymore. I don't think they are active, actually. I don't know. It's like a small city a couple hours south of Kansas City. And it's cool. I'm very glad I grew up there. And I'm also very glad that I don't live there anymore.
Yeah. I was talking to Eric Garlington of Proper, and and he grew up kind of all over on army bases, and he grew up in the South and then was moving to Kansas City, and he thought it was going to be like this bastion of liberalism and acceptance, and it was not as he wished. It was better, but it wasn't it wasn't like quite that what he hoped. So I think he has kind of the same feelings of like, you know, it was nice. He's like not ashamed of it or anything, but like glad he made it out.
For sure. Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit when we've hung out with Proper. And, you know, the first time I saw them play, I remember him playing, I can't remember the name of the song, but it's like a song that name drops Kansas City a lot. And just like, it hit me very, very hard in a way that's totally different for Eric, like completely different as a white person, obviously. But, I relate to that a lot, also coming from like my family's from a military background. That dude's awesome.
Yeah, he is. And then Amy, on these songs, you talked a little bit earlier about how kind of these weren't bred out of anger. It's sort of like, it felt like they're beyond that. But you do seem to be like struggling with sort of like moving on. And I don't know how much you want to like talk about it, but was this something that you were sort of like living of like something that was hard for you to move past?
Yeah. I mean, we wrote this record as it was happening. I think that's the first song on the album was written as this breakup started to like really happen. So as this was being written, I was nowhere near trying to nowhere near able to move on. It was all like happening all at once. Trying to like sort through how I felt.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I remember you capture that well.
I remember literally in Happy New Year, like Amy had the first like minute maybe done and sent it to the group, and then it was like around the holidays, obviously, because that's what the song I think was written. So, and then I was like, "Hey, do you mind if I give a stab at like the song?" And they were like, "Yeah, that's fine." And then so I was like, "All right," and I was so we just spent a lot of time together, and I know it. They were going through, and so I was like, all right, I'll try to finish it. And so I wrote a bunch of the stuff at the end and sent it over, and I was like, what do you think, is this weird that I'm like writing from your perspective, like is it weird? And they were like, no, and I'm going to cry every time we play that. So I was like okay, we've got this collaboration is now more of a mind melt. Like, we literally thought of the album title independently from each other within 12 hours. It was very strange.
That is the true sign of you've been maybe touring too long together, I think.
Yeah, we call it cycling. Yeah,
that's all.
Or syncing cycles, I think,
yeah,
is what we call
it. Yeah, we there are a few ideas on the record that came that way where, like, I showed up to practice and was like, dude, I have a great idea for a song. It's like, yeah, me too. And then I was like, okay, you go first. He's like, all right, I want to write a song about a pet, but sounds like it's about a person. I was like, oh my God, me too. And then we call it Heavy Petting. And we like said it all at the same time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like Lennon and McCartney right there. Yeah, it's all happening. I was excited to be sarcastically name checked in one of the like Basic Boys you mentioned and swiped out first line. I thought that was great, but that was a great song. And I think both of you use humor really well, while still kind of without it being, I don't know, fleeting or something. There's like kind of a deep biting sarcasm here in some of these songs that I really appreciated.
That's like, I think one of the things that we work really hard to do is try to find some pinch of humor in our most painful moments. Yeah. So it's good to hear that it lands.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. In terms of when you were crafting the sound of the band, I was kind of reminded, this may not hit at all, but like I was remembering some of those bands back in the early aughts. It was like there was a band called May and Lydia, and there's various sort of like dream pop emo, very pretty music. I was just wondering, I know the influences question is like kind of dumb, but I was wondering how you came to the sound you have.
It's really a combination of all four of our interests, I would say. I'm not familiar with those bands. Amy might be. I feel like I missed out on a lot of emo music and emo adjacent music that I just, for whatever reason, I was thought that all you were supposed to listen to was Radiohead.
You know, but that's also a fine option. I don't.
Yeah, it worked out okay.
I can't say that you chose right or wrong on that that choice. So,
but we all are, you know, we all have very different musical backgrounds, but relate on a lot of things. It was. So it's hard to say if it was like one thing or one specific thing. We definitely are into the like, you know, the dynamics of it, and the like the big moments are like huge, or that's what we go for. And the quiet moments are like extra sad. Like I feel like that's our those are our descriptors for like the spectrum of like if it's a really sad lyric, then maybe we should sing it over a really sad sounding moment. And I know there's times when we're like this guitar line, it's not quite sad enough. Like literally that's like, that'll be something Amy or I will say when we're writing like a lead or whatever, or like a chord. So yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. How'd you decide to start with Happy New Year, which is like a little bit of a slower song and certainly starts out slower. I think it's such a great introduction to the album, but it's a bit of a risk not to, you know, start with like a banger right out the gate.
I think we knew the moment we finished it that was going to be the opener, and it was like the second song we wrote for the record. We knew like, all right, now we know where this like thematically is going, because at that point the wheels were in motion for our various breakups, and it was like, all right, this sets the stage for like how we feel right now, and we can like use this build at the end to build into a banger. So let's take a stab at it.
Yeah. Do you worry for future music? I'm a writer also, and so I think about this in terms of material. But like this album seems very serendipitous in terms of the endings and sort of how the stories all collided at the same time. Like, are you worried? Do you worry about having future material when there's not these like huge traumatic events happening?
I don't. I think we are. Daniel and I are very obsessive and very analytical, and The kind of conversations that we have in the van as a band go over like every tiny nuance of any given thing. And I think that that's like an energy that translates into songwriting and arranging for us. And this was very serendipitous in the way that it all shook out. But I think in the future, maybe it's like, maybe we're not necessarily writing about breakups, but about like this very specific hard thing that happens when you're in love with someone, but you're mad at them, or, you know, whatever else it might be.
I think that both of your songs, sort of that analytical nature, comes through, and I think it makes the album really like specific, and in that way, I think the more specific things are, the more relatable they are. I know you, Amy, you talk like very specifically about, you know, seeing a photo of their cat and kind of remembering when you high-fived and things like that. And that feels like, again, less from that surface anger or heartbreak and more kind of thinking about, really thinking about the situation.
Yeah. I think we try to pull, we're definitely writing like from specific experience and trying to pull things from that that can like, that resonate. I don't know that we are like, we're writing these songs for ourselves more than anything. It's like, writing this record was how I survived and like how I found a way to make sense of the dumping my life on the ground and running it over. So I'm glad it resonates. That feels really good that it's not just like, God, what's this hyper specific detail about like someone's backyard?
Right. Do you have people kind of come up to you and relate it? And I mean, these songs must resonate with folks, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. We've had some like really absurd stories, like someone coming to a show and being like, yeah, I saw you on a first date a few months ago. And then like right before the record came out, we were supposed to come to this show together. And then they broke up with me.
And now it's a perfect soundtrack. Like, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of funny stories like that, yeah. But also a lot of more like intense, hey, this is like a source of catharsis for me sort of conversations that are like, I'm so sorry to hear that, but also thanks for choosing us to walk with you in that.
Yeah. Does that feel, how does that feel to sort of take on those stories? And, cause it's sort of not something you necessarily signed up for though. And it sounds like you're appreciative of it.
Very appreciative. It's, we've all had songs and albums and artists that we really latch on to during a painful time. And I think like my two biggest musical dreams have always been to be making music I love with people I love more, and for that music to resonate with someone, and those two things have come true. So it feels very good, and it's like, it's a really massive privilege that people give a damn.
Yeah. I was super excited to sort of discover your band and discover this album. It's great when you talk to a band that clearly thinks hard about their art, thinks about sort of what they're putting into the world and how they're presenting it and all of that. And I think you all do just a really great job at that. It's clear you're sort of taking things, taking the emotional weight of making songs for people like seriously. And I think that's really cool. So thank you for doing what you do.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do this thing where we say goodbye, but then we'll stay on and then I'll actually say goodbye.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much. Do you have a website or Twitter or what what's the best way for people to find you?
FutureTeensOfAmerica.com.
Nice.
Is our website. And we're definitely on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. But the websites, I think that's where you can kind of find whatever you'd like.
Nice.
Music or stuff or contact.
Awesome.
The handle for everything is Future Teens USA if you don't want to go to a website.
Yeah. Future Teens USA. And Breakup Season is out now and you are touring now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. You made my mom a scarf, just like the one you made for me. It's just like you to keep us warm, even after I up and leave. I can't remember when I last slept in my own bed, and I'm paying up for it in way more ways than rent. You catch me crying in the shower. How's your day? Crying in a traffic jam. How was your day? Crying in the break room hoping no one else comes in. I bet your friends are thrilled they don't have to hear you go on about it. None of your who's great. Boston's still too damn far away.
Traffic jam.